When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Producer Hugh, if you do one thing with this episode, one thing at all, can you please put out the screen grab of John and I wearing our 100% hockey hats? John, you do not do a hat very well, but I give you credit for trying.
Well, you know, I like hats, but hats don't like me. And that's the problem. I look like a dork in a hat.
You know, maybe if you wore the hat more often, we'd get used to it.
No, because I would like when I'm out and about with my pal Gordy, I wear a hat. But you know, this is just not me. It's not
put
me.
It on backwards.
No, I hate that. You know that's almost as bad. That's almost as bad as nicknames. Hats on backwards, particularly guys in their 50s and 60s.
Try it sideways, like with an angle, like you're trying to be hip, a little rappish. Give that a shot.
Rapper John. Rapper. See that? That looks, that's the silliest thing I've ever seen.
These hats look good backwards.
They are good looking hats with the 100% hockey on the back there. That's pretty good.
What kind of hat could you pull off? Like a bucket hat?
I can't wear hats. I'm telling you, the best hat I had was walking down the beach in Puerto Vallarta, a big hat. I looked like a Mexican drug lord. You know, I looked fantastic with it. The only thing missing was a cigar.
What about a visor?
Oh, I hate visors too. I hate visors. Visors. I mean, what's the point in a visor? You know, the idea of a hat is to keep the sun off your scalp, you know? But I do admit I do not look good in hats, and I'd love to wear a hat, but I also know my strengths.
What about a fireman's hat?
No, I don't think so. What other hats do I have?
Oh, I know what. A cyclist helmet. I think you would look, because nobody looks good in a cyclist helmet.
Well, I'd be right in the middle of that. So I always wanted. You know, I lived in Alberta for almost 15 years and I can't wear cowboy boots. My feet just won't agree with cowboy boots. But I always wanted to wear a cowboy hat. And, you know, the only thing bigger than the hat were my ears. So it just didn't work. So I have come to the realization in my, you know, my waning years here is that I can't wear hats. I just can't. Based on what I'm seeing from you right now, neither can you.
If you played in the NHL, you would have to go without the bucket.
So, well, you see, I wouldn't, I would be grandfathered in. I'm old enough that I wouldn't have to, you know.
Do you know how many guys flip back and forth, bucket, no bucket,
for the
depending
warm-up?
On confidence or way things are going?
No, you tell me.
In warm-up, guys will shake it up, just like they will with what they're doing with their gear or tape jobs or with their sticks or different approaches. But the guys will sometimes go no bucket just to alter the vibe in a pregame warm-up. See, I would go no bucket all the time in warm-up if I could.
If I was a manager of a team and I said, you know, we need to connect with our fans, I would recommend, because you can't tell them and make them, I would tell every player not to wear their helmet in warm-up. Because I think that
yet not every player is allowed, because now you if – you're a certain age, you have to wear a helmet warm-up.
I know, but you know, but that
we're losing guys. That,
based on
that
the dress code, based on the dress code, everything's negotiable.
True.
And, you know, based on the dress code these days. See, you know, now what do you think of the dress code? You like the dress code?
I think it's a little too relaxed. I think that there's an opportunity for some flavor to be exhibited. But I saw a player this week in the press box in a hoodie.
Oh, I see.
By the way, hoodie. And it wasn't like a fashionable hoodie.
Hoodie should be outlawed anyway.
It was just a team issued hoodie. And I thought, I don't need to see that star player in a team issued hoodie. I want to see him dressed up. And he wasn't going to play. And so it wasn't like he was a late scratch or hurt or anything like that.
Here's my question for you. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, in the middle of May, when we're having games in Sunrise, Florida, and Tampa, Florida, and Dallas, Texas, and Anaheim, California, and Los Angeles, are we going to see guys coming in flip-flops and shorts? Home team coming in flip-flops and shorts?
You might. My initial reaction was no, but then thinking about some of the personalities on those teams.
I could see Sam Bennett coming in and flip-flop and shorts.
Yeah. I could see Matthew Tkachuk walking in flip-flops and shorts.
Yeah.
Showing a little personality. No, it's gone a little too relaxed for me. I still like we showed Mark Stone walking into the rink for his first game back after missing 16 in a row, and he looked good with the jacket and styling, walking in ready to go into the rink. I enjoyed that.
But Mark Stone's an old goat. You know, he's an old guy, and so he wants to first of all, he doesn't want to disappoint Kelly, because Kelly might pull him aside.
I don't mind guys going without a tie. I really don't.
Oh.
But I think you need a jacket for sure.
Speaking of that, did you realize on Monday when we had Lou Lamoriello on, he didn't have a tie on?
No.
He was not wearing a tie, Lou Lamoriello.
I was too busy trying to track down his ghost social media account.
No, not my pal Lou. No way.
Do you really think he doesn't have some kind of social media account?
No, when he was the manager of a team or the president of a team, I guarantee you that he had people around him.
You don't think he's got a ghost account?
No, he doesn't.
Well, what are you doing later tomorrow? Because I got some oceanfront property here in Nevada that I could sell you for a sweet deal.
Well, I tell you what, if it's on Lake Mead, the beach is big.
we're now selling land inside the lake.
I know.
That is lakefront. Yeah. We'll get there soon. We'll get into a couple of things that are on the top of my head as we continue.
Didn't think I'd know about hockey. Lake Mead, did you?
100% hockey with Millard and Shannon.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here. Watch every game, From every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Were people really reaching out to you, bugging you about interrupting?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. A couple guys. Shut up, Shannon. Shut up.
Who were they?
It was just some guys. Some guys on, you know, that used to call me other names, you know.
Do you read your social media mentions?
Not all
do
of
they
them.
Do they bug you?
Oh, no. I learned a long time ago not to worry about it. You know, because here's my rule when it comes to social media. And I actually think that the whole social media thing has changed in the last 4 or 5 years. It's not near as relevant nor credible as it was 10 years ago. And I'm only talking about my hockey world because I don't play the game outside of hockey. And if anybody knows that follows me, I only follow 99 people. And I only deal in the hockey world. I try not to comment on anything other than hockey because that's what people, I would think, follow and watch me for. So from that perspective, if I get somebody that rips me that A, doesn't have their own face on their profile picture, they don't have their own name on their profile picture, or they swear at me, then I don't pay attention to them. If somebody who says something that is critical of me but has a real face and a real name, then I pay attention to it and then I think about it. But because normally those people won't be as overly critical as others.
You know? Did you respond to them?
No. Oh, no, no, never. No, never play that game. Although I will tell you, I think I've told you this story. I will tell you one story. So this got to be 10 years ago. And I said something on a Canucks broadcast and then retweeted the similar story. And a guy in Victoria just ripped the shit out of me, just ripped me left and right, and how incompetent I was, and I didn't know anything, and this is so, and it wasn't my brother. So I looked at his name, and his name was on his profile, and then he also said what his occupation was, and he was a Royal Bank of Canada, RBC broker in Victoria. So it just so happens that RBC is my bank. RBC, I, you know, mortgage, investments, everything that is RBC. So I happen to know a few people that had office at RBC. So I copied his, how he ripped me, just ripped me. And I said, and this is how you treat your clients at Royal Bank?
Did you get an apology from the dude?
No, I got an apology from the Royal Bank, and I was told that he had to go to some sort of training.
Really?
On how to work social media.
Wow. I don't think I'm doing that. Wow. You're hard.
Well, but guys, listen, people like us, we're not that important, but we put our faces out there. We put our opinions out there. You know, and if you're going to play hardball, I'm going to play hardball too. So, but it was, I still remember it ended up going for about 2 or 3 weeks where they would say they've talked to him and I think he ended up deleting his account. So,
yeah. I think that starting over would be a good thing there.
Yeah. Now he's Fluffy Cat 2, I think. So
who's the, no, I'm Fluffy Cat 2 _. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Who's the most sensitive fan base out there? There's a lot that
Vancouver. Vancouver.
The model, but
Vancouver.
Yeah.
And they are the most the highs in Vancouver are really high and the lows in Vancouver are really low. They are a passionate fan base. And it's fascinating to watch them. They love their team and they hate their team at the same time. And so I think Vancouver is in many ways in a league of its own when it comes to the game and the Canucks.
I find Vancouver fans can be mean. Faster. Oh,
vicious.
Yeah.
Vicious. You know,
Winnipeg fans are protective.
Winnipeg fans, Darren,
they're sensitive,
but they have Jets fans don't get mad at me, but Winnipeg fans have an inferiority complex.
Yeah, we're Manitobans. That's what the way we are.
No, but we're a small market, and we have great players, and nobody sees us.
Nobody pays attention. Yeah.
Nobody pays attention. Well, and yet Connor Hellebuyck wins the Hart Trophy, so it's not true, nobody.
Toronto fans are elitist.
No.
They think they're great, but they never win.
Toronto fans. See, there are the
center of the universe, man.
No, I see that. See, I'm a big believer. I think the best fans in the league are in Montreal.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, they know when to be patient. They respect the other teams more than anybody else. And I've seen that, for the 5 decades that I've been going to Montreal and, seeing 1,000 people outside the rink to watch the Oilers practice, in the 80s. And they love, and I don't think any fan base supported a team in a rebuild like the Canadiens fans did in the last 5 or 6 years. It truly is amazing. But at the same time, you look at, rabid Islander fans, rabid Ranger fans. But I also think, Darren, it's different between the two countries. I think it's different between the two countries. I think that for the most part, in the United States, the fans are the fan of your team. In Canada, they're hockey fans that are a fan of a team. And that reflects in so many ways when we watch how the playoffs play out on television in both countries, is when a Canadian team gets eliminated, the hockey fan disappears for 2 days and then comes back and watches the rest of the playoffs. When a U.S.-based team gets eliminated in the playoffs, hockey season's over. And that's always been the real challenge. When I was at the league, we fought this challenge all the time, trying to implore the member clubs to promote the game of hockey and promote other teams after their team's eliminated. And it was a terrible fight. The Philadelphia Flyers are not going to promote the New York Rangers. It just does not happen. It does not happen. It will not happen. And that's a real challenge.
How would you describe the fan bases of Boston and Philadelphia? Because that it takes it to a different level. I wouldn't wear an opposition sweater in either one of those buildings.
By the way, it's nice of you to say sweater.
I would not do it.
It's very kind of you to say sweater. Mm-hmm.
And I've told people, don't, if when they were going to games there, not to.
Yeah. I have a ton of respect for Bruin fans. I think Boston is as close as you're going to get to Canada when it comes to a hockey market. I think Bruin fans are spectacular. I think Flyer fans, first of all, the Flyer fans, there aren't as many of them as we think in a city of, what, Philadelphia, 6 million people. But, you know, they're a passionate fan base, and they love their team. And they've been through some hard times of late, and they're still showing up. So they deserve something. But it's a different mentality between a Canadian team and an American team. Boston fans, to me, are really there's a hardcore level of Bruin fans that you really enjoy. I love going. I have loved working in Boston all this time. I love going there. I was lucky enough for a 5-year window that I was on a Nesson show every Saturday afternoon, talking hockey about the rest of the league and trying to reflect it on what was going on in Boston. We had so much fun. Bruin fans in many ways have been spoiled, but not spoiled enough. When you consider as good as the Bruins have been for 20 years, I know that they've missed the playoffs a couple of times, but they've only won one Stanley Cup. They've only won once. With all those great players, with Chara, with Bergeron, with Marchand, with Pasternak, you know, remember, was it 2013? You know, they were close to winning the cup, and Chicago scored 2 late goals in game 6 in Boston to win the cup.
Got to a final in 18?
Got to the final in 19.
19, sure.
And got Binnington'd, you know.
There's an intimidation to the Flyer fans, and we joke about it, about how they go to the airport and boo safe landings and
but that's Philadelphia as a whole, you know,
but there's still intimidation to a Flyer
and yet fan. and yet the Flyers for the last 5 or 6 years have been nowhere near the image that we have of what Flyer hockey's all about. I mean, teams used to get the Philly flu. There's no need to get the Philly flu anymore. They've been in the bottom quarter of teams with penalty minutes the last few years. They're just not there. It's a fascinating thing to be able to watch all these different markets and how they manage themselves through the highs and lows of what their teams do.
1, 2, 3. You can pick 3 places to go watch a hockey game.
Yep.
Where are the 3 cities that you would go to attend an NHL game? I'm writing this down as well.
You're going to tell me your 3 too?
Sure. Yep. Okay. I can go first too.
Okay, you go first. I've already got Vegas, my list.
Because of the show. Mm-hmm. Madison Square Garden because of the
Dancing
arena.
Dancing Larry.
The arena and walk up the ramp and the whole experience. And then Montreal for the overall hockey experience.
So you and I agree on 2 of 3. I think Madison Square Garden is the greatest place to watch a hockey game. I love the passion of the Ranger fans. I love, you know, when the Rangers score and the song that they sing and how the crowd gets involved. I think it's fantastic. And you're right. So the 5 or 6 years I worked at the league, I would work till about 6:45 and then walk down from the office to the garden and walk up the elephant ramp into the Zamboni. And it's magical. It really is to be
one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah. I love it. I agree with you on Montreal. Again, I think that they're the most sophisticated hockey fans in the world. and so many people just live and die with what Canadians do. And so that to me is in the top three. I think we could, I'll tell you what, the one place that was really fun for a while when they were a good team in the playoffs was Raleigh.
Playoffs, there's not a bigger difference between regular season and playoff atmosphere than Carolina.
Right. And I'm not just talking about the pulled pork in the parking lot. You know, I'm talking about the crowd and the involvement, and you do get a sense of that, what I would describe college atmosphere.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You're right on.
In Raleigh. And in 2006, when they won the Stanley Cup, I became a closet Ganiac. I mean, I admit it, because it was such a fun place to be with that team and that fan base. And the fan base made a home game, a 12-hour event with the tailgating. Again, I think that, when you have hockey in the summer, that was one of those places that I loved going to. But, I think we can pick and choose all sorts of arenas. I mean, tell you what, Edmonton is tough to beat when the Oilers are winning.
I mean, I'm just talking about a random Tuesday in January.
Yeah. Well, Madison Square
Garden. Vegas just does a show, right? Like it's an entertainment, along with the hockey game.
Well, I've never been, so I can't comment. I've never been invited, so.
Well, you write a couple of letters, forward a couple of things to me. I'll vet them. I'll get them to the right person. We'll see what we can do. No, it's different. Like Vegas is different. You couldn't do what Vegas does in Winnipeg or Toronto. It wouldn't fly. But it works down here. And I have trouble going back and watching games the other way now because it's such an event. So I'm going to put them in there.
Good to know.
Take a break. We got who's in and who's out right now. And it's not pretty right now for those that stake their claim on American Thanksgiving being the end-all, be-all to the Stanley Cup playoffs for that season. It's 100% Hockey with Millard and Chan. American Thanksgiving. I don't subscribe to this theory that it's such a telltale sign of who's going to make the playoffs as much as you do, certainly, and
me?
Others.
Me? I never say it.
You always say it.
No.
In fact, there's six teams right now that were in the playoffs last year are out. That's not going to be the case this season. And maybe this season's a little more of the exception, but it's so tight.
I think this season is a complete exception. I also think that the American Thanksgiving should actually be probably pushed to the 15th of December. Season started late, I think you got to get to the 30 game mark before we start pinpointing these situations.
There's a handful of teams last year that were out at this time that got in. And right now we're looking at a half dozen, almost half the field that was in last year is out right now. Montreal, Florida, and Toronto in the East. I think Florida and Toronto both get in. I'm not counting Toronto out until the very end.
I think the Leafs are in trouble. I really do. I think the Leafs are in big trouble. I would put Montreal and Florida both in the playoffs.
If Montreal can figure out their goaltending.
Yeah,
it's odd. And I don't know how much wiggle room they've got or want to do with their goaltending. They like the two guys.
But is this the mental side of the game where you right now, Montembeau has just got a mental block and is overthinking the position.
I think things may change too after the Olympic rosters are set. It's weighing, I've told you this before, but it's weighing on a few people around the league, whether they'll admit it or not. And in the West, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and St. Louis all made it last year, all out right now.
I honestly think you should put Calgary on that list too, because when you consider that they actually had the same amount of points as St. Louis, you know, with eight teams getting to the playoffs, there really were nine teams that qualified, and so Calgary,
well, they're not in either,
right? I mean, in many ways, the frustration in Calgary. I think when you look at who has been a disappointing team in either conference, I might put Calgary right at the top of the list in the West, and obviously Toronto in the East. Yeah. You know, those are the two most disappointing teams, and I can tell you right now that the push and pull that's going on in Calgary is difficult to manage. Ownership believes that they're a better team than they perhaps are. And you know, the decision not to make major change and stay with the plan is coming from on high. It's not necessarily one that the coach, and I haven't talked to Ryan, so I can't guess that, but we're not going to see rebuild in Calgary this year. We're not. There's a real belief that they're a better team than they are, and they have played better until last night on Wednesday night in Tampa, where they got blown out in the first 11 minutes.
Well, the problem with Calgary is they've got to overcome St. Louis, Vancouver, Winnipeg, Edmonton, San Jose, Chicago, Utah to get in.
Yeah, but just win your games. Just win your games. You know, if you look at the history in the last little while, all the way back in 2019, look, St. Louis just won its games and had a high winning percentage, got them in after Binnington took over. Edmonton, was it 2 years ago when they won 16 in a row? I mean, that happens. Both Calgary and St. Louis last year were the two best teams in the Western Conference from the end of Four Nations to the end of the regular season. So that created a real challenge for other teams, and they almost pulled it off. Well, St. Louis did pull it off, and the Flames came within a whisker of pulling it off. So it's one of those ones where you're right. I mean, when you look at it between the first wild card spot and where Calgary sits right now, it's 8 points and nine teams. But if you just win your games and do your job over the long run of the remaining 57 games, life's okay. Do your job. Stay in your lane and do your job.
Do you have an opinion on San Jose?
What, south of
last
San
team with Francisco? Last team without a win this year, and yet they've turned around. Ryan Warsawski and company have been really good. They've got great young talent, but they're closer than I thought they would be at this point.
Yeah, they are. They are closer, but this is where the great overused phrase "it's early" comes.
I think they're this year's or last year's Utah. Like in it, but won't really be in it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny when we look at all of these teams that are, playing so well. So I think you can point at goaltending everywhere. Point at goaltending, and it took Askarov, I think, three or four games to feel that, he was at a level that he could be an elite goalie in this league. Mm-hmm. And he's been, and I know Celebrini's been brilliant, and Eklund's been brilliant when he's healthy, and Smith's been really good. And they have a quality utilitarian defense. to the point where you wonder if, you know, at the deadline in March, you know, there's going to be people clamoring over a couple of guys on the Sharks blue line at the deadline. And Mike Greer is going to say, you know what, we like where we are. And we're just going to, you know, stay the course, which is what he did last year when people were phoning for a couple of his defensemen. So from that perspective, I think this is just the natural progression. You know, the key thing in all of this for a team like San Jose, for a team like Anaheim, for a team like Chicago, and for Utah is not getting overly aggressive and having the manager manage up to ownership to say, guys, we have a plan. We're staying the course. We have to stay the course. We can't think that we're that close and we're going to sell the farm in order to get to the playoffs this year. You know,
are Matthew Darche and Kyle Dubas in the same predicament in the Eastern Conference? A couple of teams that were outside last year, not expected to be strong contenders this year, were thought to be going in the other direction. Islanders with the number one pick building, Pittsburgh Penguins on the precipice of a teardown. Yet they both surprised out of the gate.
Well, I think we're pleasantly shocked with what's gone on the island. You know, and I still remember they were 0-3, and you looked at the ice time for all their players, and the 18-year-old Schaefer had more ice time than any other player on the team. And you're saying, what's Patrick doing? He's playing this card and he's playing it too early, and it doesn't make any sense. And all of a sudden, wow, they have accomplished a lot. You know, Wednesday night, they should have won Wednesday night. They outchanced, they outshot, they did everything except beat Jeremy Swayman. You know, that was a game that, you know, that I think Patrick Waugh could not walk in the room and be angry at, because the Islanders did everything that they should have. You know, they just got beaten by a better goaltender that night.
Got some numbers for you regarding injuries. We'll finish off the episode this way. It may surprise you where we are when it comes to injuries in the National Hockey League. It's 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen.
And he scores!
Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
I promised you this last week.
Yeah, you did. I know. And you didn't follow through.
So. And I got sidetracked. But injuries, this is about a week ago. Injuries year over year. More or less right now?
Well, the obvious answer is more.
Okay.
And
you're right. It is more.
I do not recall, you know, I'm one of those lucky guys that, you know, I get to watch lots of hockey in all the different time zones. I don't go to as many games as I used to, because I like being at home, being able to watch, you know, 15 games, although 15 games is hard to watch.
Should be at max 7.
Well, we can talk about that before we go to. So what I would say is that I've never seen more rosters depleted by 7 or 8 players at the same time. Toronto without 8 regulars. Vancouver without 8 regulars. There have been a ton of teams without. I think the Rangers were that way for a while. Buffalo went through it. There's so many teams that not 1 or 2 players, but 7 or 8.
Okay, here are the numbers.
Okay.
25% more injuries this year than last year at the same period about a week ago. 25% more. And that was before the schedule had really cranked up. There was a lot of elements that we thought that there would be more injuries next year because of the shorter training camp. We had a regular training camp this year. Mm-hmm. The surge in absences this year has surprised a lot of people in the head offices around the league.
Okay, so the easy out is to blame the schedule. That's the easy out. The schedule's bad.
But the schedule hasn't been bad so far. It hasn't hit its peak or even close to its peak yet.
That is a scary thought.
Yeah.
That is a scary thought.
That's what everybody's saying is, if it's bad now, what's going to be like when we get into December, January, and March?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I would also think a bigger part of this is players used to pace themselves. Players used to pace themselves in October and November and December because the schedule wasn't the factor. And nobody looked at the standings until January. Nobody, I mean,
what did Lou say the other day? He thinks the players are wound too tight.
Oh, that's my physically. Point now. Yeah. That's my point now is that players now are going at 100%.
Hockey.
Thank you. The players are going at 100% from the first night of the season. And that wasn't always the case. Players used to go and pace themselves. I do think there's a factor in the schedule when you think that a lot of teams have, you know, used to play three games a week and now they're closer to four right now. And that's a challenge. But I just think it's the pace that the players are playing at and the speed of the game combined with that physical element that comes with speed puts these guys in a tough spot.
No way you get around that, though.
No. The way you get around it is you're going to have to compensate for it somehow. For instance, and we I think we touched on this a couple of weeks ago with what Seattle has done with its goaltending. Mm-hmm. Having three quality goaltenders and then
carrying three NHL goaltenders.
Correct. Yeah. Carrying three NHL goaltenders. I mean, I look at what's going on in Winnipeg with Connor Hellebuck. And the Jets are thin at goal right now. The Jets are thin. And I think teams are going to look at the Winnipeg Jets and what they're going through, and then they're going to look at Seattle and what they've done and say, you know, we need to find a third NHL caliber goaltender and either find a way to hide him in the minors or carry three goaltenders. And that, I think, or and who knows, now the CBA's done, you know, and you know, we know we have the new e-bug rule coming next year, but you do wonder if there's a third goaltender that is going to be a part of a depth situation for every team in the league soon.
Yeah, yet in practice, everybody hates three goalies. It's a pain.
Sure, I understand that, but you know what?
For the three goalies and for the players trying to avoid the three goalies, for the coaches trying to get work for the three goalies.
You know, you need to find a way to make sure that you have NHL caliber goaltending for 82 regular season games.
It does point us in the direction of load management, which scares me. I don't want to ever see in the National Hockey League, but if you see injuries up 25% year over year and the schedule is going to get crazier to come.
They're going to buy yourself. They're going to buy themselves 2.5 weeks next year. And they're going to add two games, and they're going to add 2.5 weeks to the schedule. That will help. That will help. Even in the Olympic years and in the World
Cup. But remember, training camps aren't what they normally are next year. And we all think there's going to be extra injuries because of that. I don't care how good a shape they come in. The soft tissue injuries, the muscle injuries are going to be rampant the first few weeks of the season next year. So they don't get those reps.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Absolutely. And I'm not coming up with that. I'm just telling you what I'm being told from people all over.
Yeah, I think it has to be a concern. There's no question.
My muscles never get sore.
Pardon me?
My muscles never get sore. I don't do enough to cause wear and tear on them. You think there should be a maximum of 7 games a night in the NHL for people watching?
No, I don't. I think, well, first of all, it's not physically possible with the way the contracts go for the national rights holders in both countries. And who knows if that's going, and who knows how and when that's going to change with the new Rogers contract in Canada and where the games are going to end up being distributed.
Do you have a theory on where they are going to show them?
Yeah, but this now is not the time and place to give that out.
Okay. Holding out on us, that's fine.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's, you know, somebody will swear at me on social media, so.
What? Will they end up streaming more games?
We have a streamer now.
Yeah.
And so the question is, will streaming get more? And will there be more than one network involved?
Games are streamed in the United States all over the place through ESPN.
Yeah, and that's right. But that's out-of-market games, and then ESPN does its own games. But, you know, and you know, the world is going streaming. We're in a transition right now in the broadcast world, in the streaming world. We're in a complete transition of how people watch and consume not just sports, but media, how they consume everything. So,
hey, you know what I did last night before we go?
Okay, let me guess.
In our broadcast, it's something I've never done as a broadcaster.
What'd you do?
You know the bench interviews that reporters do?
Yeah, I love
it. During the course of a game, like on there with the coach?
I love it.
I did that last night. Really? Never done before.
So you were down there with Bruce and he was barking at you?
Yeah. No, he wasn't barking at me, but popped on the bench and asked him a couple of questions and then popped off and you're sitting there with the guys. And it was unique. And what struck me was it's a small space back there. It looks bigger when you're on television, you're looking from across the rink. It was tight. I couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. The whistle went, I popped on, waited for my cue, asked the two questions, and before Bruce could say thanks, after saying, thanks, Bruce, thanks, I was like halfway to the tunnel.
And you didn't ask him if you could do a line change?
I was going to tap a couple of guys as I was walking by, just to see. Never done it before. It was cool to do something brand new. And then I went back up to my perch.
Yeah, you're better up in section 117.
So. Well, one of the guys turned around and was getting a helmet shined up on our bench. Like just out of context. What the hell is that?
Oh, well, you know what? Those guys are in the zone. They know, 19 of the guys didn't even know you were there. So
no,
didn't even know.
It was cool. It was fun, and I thought. I'm standing on a bench during a National Hockey League game. It was different. It was unique and it was fun.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
And all I could imagine was you in my ear. Go! Do it!
No.
Ask this.
I actually would not do the interviews at that point.
Why?
I would do it to start the period.
Oh. There's nothing wrong with that. That eats into my intermission time, though, so I'm not as big a fan of that.
Because it's all about you, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's about our time.
It's all about you.
I want my time.
Oh, no, but I would, at the start of a period.
You used to do that in Hockey Night. You guys used to do that with the coaches coming back?
Well, long before I was at Hockey Night, when I was doing hockey in the United States, we had a coach come on as they were walking to the bench for the start of the next period. I thought that was a much better placement of it. I still am a traditionalist, Darren, where I don't want the broadcasters to feel they're part of the game. They're not part of the game, you know? And so I don't like
being on the bench.
Correct.
I wasn't part of the game. I was just in the game.
No, exactly. You're not in the game. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, I was inside the bubble, but I wasn't part of it.
Don't care.
The heck out of the bubble.
Don't like it. Don't like it. But I'm, as you know, I have a whole set of rules for everything when it comes to this kind of stuff.
I have to do it. I get to do it. I get to do it again. Friday and Saturday. Should I throw in a couple of, let's go, boys. Come on, Gold.
No, but if Bruce says, you know, we have to give 100%, I dare you to say hockey.
Can you imagine? Hockey, just to go viral.
Oh,
that would be outstanding.
By the way, today we're running this show on Friday, Black Friday. So, everybody's out shopping, listening to the podcast. I think this is the only day of the year in the NHL season, because it's a holiday, and the way that it works, I think this is the day that should be 16 games. This is the only day. This should become, you know, we have the NFL has Thursday of Thanksgiving with the three games. You know, everybody's tried to figure out what to do on Black Friday. I think that if we did a Black Friday 16 game day, we could create a tradition.
Have you talked to anybody about that?
No, I've been thinking about it for a while.
Okay, let's do it. Well, I will be your seconder at the meeting.
We got no chance if that's the case. What?
You need a seconder to get it to pass.
I'll just phone. I'll
seconder?
Phone
all in I'll favor?
Phone, I'll phone Hatzepetros and then he'll tell me why.
I'm with you on that. I think that's a great idea.
Because it could
absolutely
start
a great idea.
It could start at noon, and we need. If everybody now,
where do you
that's
fit?
A great
where
idea.
Do you fit the Canadian teams in that?
I put them on. I'd put them all on the road. I'd put them all on the road if I could possible. You know, so it's to me, and I respect not having games on the Thursday for Thanksgiving for families. I respect that. But 15 games Wednesday, 15 games Friday. I'm going, well, you know, maybe we should do 16 on Black Friday. 16 games on Black Friday. They start at noon Eastern time. I mean, it would be to me, it would be the best.
I don't think 32 teams have all played in one country before. There's always a couple of games in Canada. So that would be cool.
Well, again, I think that would be part of the magic of it. Yeah. You know, find a way to do it. By the way, did you see the commissioner this week on CNBC?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. A lot of money being tossed around.
$2 billion minimum for an expansion team. $2 billion.
How much more has that increased in the last 4 years?
4 years? I think it's doubled in two. I think it's doubled in 2 years. And I, you know, when you look at what Ottawa got bought for, you look what Pittsburgh was supposedly going to sell for, even though we don't think that's going to happen again anymore at this point. You know, $2 billion for an expansion team.
So does that make expansion less likely or more likely?
Well, as the commissioner
you're working some people out of the mix.
Yes.
With $2 billion.
Well, and really what you're going to be doing to people who think they are in the mix is you're going to force them to get partners. You're going to force them to go and find somebody. If you expected to pay $1.2 billion or $1.4 billion for a team, you're going to need to find somebody with another $600 million. And that's the challenge. And that's, Darren, that's even without, I mean, that's $2 billion before we even talk about an arena. So another $1 billion for the arena. So now we're talking an investment in hockey of $3 billion.
American.
Well, there's only one currency in hockey. There's only one currency in hockey. Because we're not putting another team in Canada. We're not putting another team.
Hold on. There's only one currency, but we have two Thanksgivings?
Yes.
Wow. I love the way hockey works.
Yeah. And, you know, by the way, I did not get turkey yesterday.
That's, you're bad.
I know. I might have to talk to somebody about that.
We had a great meal. It was awesome. We just got to hang out a little bit. It was amazing.
All right.
So good.
We'll hang out Monday. How's that?
Well, good. We'll talk to you then.
Okay. I won't.
Give me a gobble gobble.
No, I won't interrupt. No, turkey's done now.
Thanks for being with us. So we'll talk to you on Monday on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Gobble, gobble.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.